hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Beautiful day out today. Good to have you with us today. A friend is with us this morning, Lisa Marshashoni from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Hey, Lisa, good morning. Good to have you with us today. And we have known each other, I guess,
30?
Forever.
30 years time. At least.
You were in the news gathering business with the Daily News Journal. Did a phenomenal, in fact, I always admired your work.
Thank you.
And now she is at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office as the Public Information Officer. And you've been there a long time, too.
15 years now, Bart.
Wow. Time flies. Yes. You must be having fun.
I am. Every day.
You had fun, I guess, the past week or so, 8 days of a zebra on the run. Now, I can recall back, you remember back in, I guess, the 80s, 90s, the sheriff's office would get reports of an emu on the run or something.
Yes.
And the deputies would be out trying to catch that emu.
Yes.
I understand the zebras are harder to catch. Well, obviously. they're just as fast, but they're a little bit bigger.
And a little stouter.
Yes. Well, how big is a zebra? Is it, it's not as big as a horse, is it? Or is it, what size is it?
The pictures and the video that I saw of the zebra, I'll just call him Ed like everybody else.
Why not?
Ed looked, he looked very muscular.
Yes, he did.
And
he did.
He looked like, he looked about the size of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I am not an animal person. I am not a person who knows very much about horses or zebras.
Well, you learned a lot quickly.
Quickly.
Everybody did. But especially the sheriff's office, because you were the ones who were out trying to capture Ed the zebra.
The first time we heard about the zebra was when he was running through Interstate 24 down by the Buchanan exit and tying up traffic, and we got all kinds of calls about it. I'm sure the dispatchers were going, yeah, really a zebra. So they started chasing him or trying to corral him or trying to get him out of the way of traffic that Saturday morning. And then, you know, he kind of disappeared. Well, he came back later, and I was on my
way. Same area.
Yes, yeah, same area. I was on my way to my mom's house, and the traffic stopped. So I called Kenneth Barrett, who was the lieutenant on duty that day, and he said, I knew you'd be calling. We've got a picture for you.
Oh.
So I'm sitting on the interstate in the traffic, putting it up on Facebook to let people know there's a zebra on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we first got involved with it.
Wow. How close were you? How near were you when this was happening?
I never saw the zebra.
Oh. You so, never got to meet Ed.
I never got to meet Ed. And I'm probably relieved.
Those are fast animals. I was doing a little check on them. 40 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's fast. I don't remember what an emu is. I don't think an emu can do 40, but they're fast.
Yes, they are.
But I saw one of the videos of Ed running along the interstate. He was doing fine if he was in the grass. And then he tried to get into the roadway. And on the video, you can see he sort of slipped a bit. I was, oh, no, I hope he doesn't fall.
Before that, he ran out into the path of a car. And the car hit him, but not bad Ooh. Enough to do any damage to the
right.
car. So,
and hopefully not to Ed.
Hopefully not to Ed. But when he stumbled, I didn't know if it was because of the car or because maybe some loose gravels on
the side
of the interstate.
Oh, was this about when he stumbled?
Yes.
You remember seeing
it? It was the same day.
Okay. Okay.
That video was taken that first day.
People think, why would somebody have a zebra? I didn't know there were any zebras. I'll have to be honest. I have seen a lot of zebras in this area. Not out wandering.
Yes.
But over at friends' houses and stuff like that. And I remember one in particular. We were at a a graduation party from some folks we knew, and they had a, it was out on their patio, and they had a fence behind the patio. There were two zebras wandering around there, and that was several years, you know, almost 10 years ago. So this is nothing new, despite, I guess getting loose is new.
Yes.
We've been fortunate they've never gotten loose. Have you done any tallies of how many zebras there might be in Rutherford County?
No, I have not. I know there are, I've heard that there are other people who own zebras here. I think because they're exotic animals and so rare to be seen other in places other than zoos, that maybe that's the attraction of them.
It could be. And they are, they look like they would be fun. Sort of like a bear. Looks like you just love to go hug that thing.
Yes.
Wouldn't be a good idea. Just as it wouldn't be good to go play with a zebra. as I looked at that one over the fence at these people's house, I thought, wouldn't it be neat to train it to, you know, ride on? It's a horse. Yes, it looks like a horse.
Yes, it does.
Probably not, but it looks like one. Put a saddle on it, ride it around. That'd be pretty cool. After Ed got out, we looked at some backgrounds of zebras seriously. You can't domesticate them. They're very difficult to train to use as a horse that you ride. In fact, I guess somebody has done it, but it's not the norm.
No, no. Nick Barris did an interesting story. He interviewed a man, I think in Sumner County, who owned a zebra, but he got it when it was a pet, and it was like part of a petting zoo. So it was always domesticated.
Yeah.
But that's rare. But the man advised people not to get near the zebras.
Even in the petting zoo?
Not in the petting zoo, but...
Okay. So that was a zebra that person got as a baby zebra.
Yes.
And it's been around people ever since
he
was born.
Yes.
This one, I guess, was born on a farm in Texas. I'm sure it wasn't from Africa or wherever zebras are from. Probably somebody started with two zebras and they thought, we can make a lot of money. And they can, because I think they're $3,000 to $10,000 or more each.
Oh, I didn't know what the cost was.
Well, now you know, so you can go get you one.
Oh, I'm sure.
So this person had two. They just got two new zebras. They had never had them, I don't think, before. And didn't they, at the end of Ed, say, I'm thinking about giving him up?
Yes, I believe that's what they said.
Got to send him to a zoo or somewhere, wherever you send zebras.
Yes. Yes.
But... The person also said in one of the interviews, we know this has created a problem for people. We're going to cover whatever expense it was. I hate to think what an expense like that would be.
The sheriff's office was there mostly for traffic safety. And we did not really try to chase the zebra or try to capture him. The owner took responsibility for that, and he's the one who brought in the people from Texas who ultimately captured the zebra. We were there on standby and just to make sure everything was safe.
I know there are people in subdivisions that were near the zebra. Some of them go to church where I go to church, and this was, Ed was the talk of the town at church. I mean, he was the talk of the town everywhere.
Yes.
People were saying, you looked out in the backyard and there was a zebra.
Nobody would believe it. Bart, I was really surprised at how the story went international.
Yes. Tell us about that and some of the comments you received at the sheriff's office.
I think people were just fascinated by Ed. I communicated with a lady in Thailand by email, and she wanted to know, you know, details. The New York Times called, and we did an interview with them. The first time I've done that, which was kind of, I don't know, not really a goal, but I never thought I'd be talking to the New York Times.
And now you'll be in print in the New York Times.
So, the story was in the BBC and the Guardian from England, and Australia, Sydney picked up the story, in Australia, and it was in four continents.
Well, what kind of questions were they asking? I mean, this was not hard news, I don't guess. Zebra takes over Rutherford County.
No, it wasn't hard news, but it was fun news.
Yes.
As long as everything was safe. You know, the zebra was not spotted for several days, and everybody feared about its safety. But then when he appeared again, I think there was a sigh of relief to know that he was still alive.
Yeah, you had a feeling of compassion
yes.
for this animal.
Yes.
And because he looked so nice and friendly and lovable when he was running along the road, just how happy that was.
There was a man who lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he works at Vanderbilt University. He did a video with Vanderbilt that was on yesterday, and he said he was walking through the area. It was probably his property, and he came face to face with a zebra.
How close? I mean, how long did it last, too?
Very quickly. He said they both stopped and looked at each other for a moment, and they both turned around and walked away.
Oh.
He walked away, and I imagine the zebra galloped away.
Wow. Because they don't like people that much. They're not friendly. It's not that they're not friendly. They just, I don't know.
Maybe they're apprehensive about people.
Could be. This one was not a real old zebra and was born in captivity on a farm. So he'd seen people all of his life, I guess.
But probably not very close.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's probably true. What do you do with zebras? In all of your conversations with people around the world, did any of them share with you, here's what you do with zebras? They're bound to be for a need.
I think people were more, the questions were more about his welfare,
mm-hmm.
not really what you do with a zebra. I don't think I had any questions about what you do with a zebra.
Did the two people who live here in Rutherford County who bought the two zebras, did they ever wonder, what do you do with a zebra? Did you ever talk with them?
No, I didn't. I think on one of the interviews they did with one of the Nashville stations, TV stations, they talked about, I think he always liked the zebras. And I think it was just kind of maybe a passion of his to own a zebra.
And so the dream came true, if you want to call it
yes.
a dream. It came true, whatever yeah. it was. So, as you look back on the way that this really brought this community together and for some reason expanded way out across the whole world.
Truly.
What do you think, what other kind of comments did you get, especially from those really distant places?
I think they were fascinated with the story too.
Yeah.
They mostly wondered, you know, what was going to happen to Ed. And I thought the memes were interesting, too. They just took off all on their own. And, this one lady is writing a book about Ed. And then on Rick Burgess's show, he had something about a book that was being written mm-hmm. about Ed. So I just think it's just people. Joe Dubin from the Murfreesboro Post had had a column, and he talked about how it brought us together.
I think it did.
And I think that's the lasting legacy of Ed.
They even have socks with Ed on them. And the picture on the socks, which I think is the most wonderful picture, is the helicopter bringing Ed back. Ed is in a basket of some, you know, a thing that's around him. He looks like he's thoroughly enjoying every minute of that. It's like a ride from Opryland, if we go back a few years to the days when there was an Opryland theme park.
Yes.
I mean, he looked like he was having a ball.
He wasn't struggling. He looked like he was very content.
He was almost smiling. You felt like he looked at you. There's Ed. Hey, Ed. Thanks for the fun. Or he was probably thanking us for the fun. But pictures of Ed, and with automation that people are able to do now,
yes.
Here at the radio station, I think it was Scott
yes.
who came up with a picture. We have a picture of Ed here in the studio. And then we have another picture that somehow Scott animated. Ed's talking, and he's walking around here in the studio. Then he goes over to the indoor soccer arena at Siegel Soccer Park, and he's walking around in there, kicks a soccer ball. I don't, you know, and that's just some of the things that we were doing, or the people were doing here at the mm-hmm. station. But people are doing that everywhere.
Yes.
Ed was in stores, in homes, wherever. And but he was everywhere in the world, not just across Tennessee.
My cousin lives in Rochester, New York, and she said she heard about it. But Rutherford, she didn't know it was Rutherford County. She knew we lived in Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I heard about that. And it, you know, it was a different view once she heard it was a place she had been before.
So Ed, he without meaning to, he did a lot of good publicity for Rutherford County.
He became an ambassador for Rutherford County.
So is the Chamber of Commerce going to, I wonder, have each year Salute Ed Day or Ed Extra Value Days or something like that?
That would be a good promotion.
Yes. I have seriously heard that there is consideration of having an Ed Festival coming up, or Zebra Festival, or something of that sort.
That would not surprise me.
I mean, why not? I mean, he did so much good for us. And the sheriff's office, you got some great publicity out of it also.
Yes, we did.
I mean, it's not too often that sheriff's offices across the nation and across the world get publicity. And there was on that picture, which I thought was really sharp, that you sent that out to the media. On the bottom of it had the big sheriff's logo, and there was the sheriff's logo in Ed flying high, just having a ball. Well, Tennessee ought to take that picture and use it in their Visit Tennessee. You never know what you're going to see. So Ed the Zebra, a fun, fun thing. Tell you what, let's pause for just a moment. We're visiting with Lisa Sharp Marshashone this morning from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. We will be right back. Don't you dare go away.
Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS. Interesting hosts and guests with the news, views, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
Holden Hardware now has an e-commerce site. Go to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware and shop all the items in our warehouse. You can have them shipped directly to you, or most items can be shipped for free to Holden Hardware for pickup. Shop with us in person or go online to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
One more time.
doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
Think the customers know I raise these eggs myself?
They do now. That hen's been louder than your radio.
50 years of local flavor. The Farmer's Market, Tuesday and Friday, 7 to 1.
Only at a producer-only market can you meet the hens behind the eggs.
Lane Agropark in Murfreesboro.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE has a solar expert and energy services supervisor to help its members understand if solar is right for them and help members avoid possible scams from outside parties. Learn more at mte.com/prosolar.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. Have you ever thought you'd like to have a piece of living, moving art in your home? If so, come take a stroll through our relaxing aquarium section. Discover how you can enjoy that tranquil feeling every day at home. Whether you have a saltwater, freshwater, or brackish aquarium, we've got you covered here at Animal City. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely for tonight with mostly cloudy skies. We dip back to around 72 and it will be breezy. Areas of showers and storms remain Wednesday, partly sunny, a high of 90. I'm meteorologist Regina Kroll on News Radio WGNS. Right now, it's 76 degrees.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues. WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Lisa Marshashone is with us from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. I want to say happy birthday today to Debbie Stegall. It's her birthday. She won the delicious banana pudding from Slick Fig Barbecue. Our good neighbor today is Randy Weiler over at MTSU. He is always taking with the task of helping others and tackle their problems. Always looking for others. Randy Weiler, congratulations. He'll be receiving beautiful flowers from our friends over at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Jenny Harrison over there. Hey, Jenny, good morning to you. Fine folks at Ryan's. Lisa Marshashone is with us, and she is here to prove today that the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office is more than a pretty face of a zebra.
That's a good description, Bart. Thank you.
You got a lot of other things. The Sheriff's Office is always involved in making this a safer place. Tell us some of the other things that are happening at the Sheriff's Office now that Ed is somewhere else.
You asked a question about traffic safety in the summer and teens. One of the SROs, Chad Dodson, offers a drive class throughout the year, the academic year, and it's a free class that students have an online lesson on Friday nights, and then Saturdays they go to a school parking lot and SROs help them maneuver and learn driving, safe driving habits and maneuvers and different ways to drive, safe ways to drive.
And that's on Saturdays. The real one in the online is Fridays.
Yes. It's usually once a month, and Chad hasn't fixed the schedule yet, but a lot of parents have their children take the class, and we always have a waiting list for the class, but it's really helpful for kids to improve their driving skills.
If somebody says, I want my child to take, or maybe the child says, I want to do that, where do they find out more?
We always advertise it on the sheriff's Facebook page, and we have the application there, and they can sign up.
Oh, great. Okay.
So one parent was so impressed by it that she did a video describing how she felt about the class for her students, her children, and then her children both talked about the class, and they sent it to Chad so he could use it for his advertising.
So he's already had a class.
He has them just about every month during the school academic year, not any during the summer.
Okay.
But those should start up again in September.
So if you want to be a part of that, and it can save your child's life,
it seriously. It can. And it gives them a different aspect about it. A lot of parents teach their children to drive, which is good, but this gives them a chance to learn with somebody else other than family members.
Mm-hmm.
And the SROs are very kind, and as you know, they're very child-friendly.
Yeah, they really are. Wonderful, wonderful caring people.
Yes.
In fact, I want to say this. Everybody I've met at the sheriff's office is a wonderful, caring person. And it comes home every day. I was over at, I forgot, it was a fast food place, eating the other day because I was trying to go to the tech center over at Minerva Drive. Looked out the window, and there was, running across the street right in front of me, was a deputy sheriff running after this guy who had no shirt, no shoes, and just shorts on. And I thought, wow, what? I mean, a news person looks up and sees that. I immediately ran outside to the front of the building, and I always keep a camera and a recorder with me. And I started taking pictures of this guy. And I kept waiting, where's his backup? And there was nobody backing up. It was this guy by himself. He tackled him to the ground, and what was really heartwarming, no police around, none, for a long time, seemed like a long time. People were stopping and they were rolling down their window. Are you okay? Can we help you? Can we call for help? What can I do? They really cared. And I was amazed because it was hot outside. It's going to be 90 today. This was just Monday. It was hot. This guy had on the full bulletproof thing, had the belt on that had all sorts of things, guns, handcuffs. He must have been horribly hot, but he ran faster than that guy and then tackled him.
It was Deputy Chris Dankworth, and he's a veteran, and he still may be in the reserve, I'm not sure, but he had done a traffic stop, and the man you were talking about jumped out of the car and started running. So Chris ran after him and was able to stop him. Another woman who was in the back seat too got out and started running. He called for backup, and Murfreesboro police found the other woman. Sadly, they both overdosed, and they survived. But they were both taken in for treatment. The paramedics came, took them to St. Thomas, and they survived, and then they were arrested. So,
Well, we need to say thank you to that deputy. I mean, I've never been more impressed.
Yes.
He was fast, and with all of that against him, hot weather, all of that regalia he was wearing, and it was very heartwarming to see the public stopping and say, are you okay? And he was waving, I'm okay, thank you.
It warms my soul when people, you know, stop and ask, are you okay? Do you need help? Because that's, I think it's indicative of the way we try to treat people. And I think people want to help us in return. We depend on people. We depend on people to give us information about crimes and just their support.
And you have another deputy who just a few days before that did something else, an act of kindness. Can you share that with us? The one who got the little fawn out of the fence line or something.
Yeah, that was Deputy Hayden Miller. He got called to a deer that was stuck in a fence. It was a fawn. So he went up and worked around the fence and finally was able to free him and held the deer for just a moment. And then the doe was waiting beside on the other side of the fence, so he was able to release the doe back to its, or the fawn back to its mother.
Wow. So this is the caring mood of our law enforcement officers here in Rutherford County.
We try to be kind.
One thing that you have coming up, which is kind, and I think it helps all of us, you have a sobriety checkpoint coming up.
We are part of the Rutherford County Highway Safety Task Force. It's involved with all the law enforcement agencies in Rutherford County. The checkpoint will be Friday night from 10 to midnight, and that will be on Highway 231 North, Lebanon Highway. It will be at Arnold Drive. We are trying to promote, especially as summer begins, not drinking and driving. If you drive, you can get a Uber, you can get a friend to take you home, or just find, or just not drink at all if you're going to drive.
But that's coming up this Friday, 10 till midnight, Highway 231 North, which is going to Lebanon.
Yes.
Sometimes people get 231 mixed up. This is the one toward Lebanon,
yes,
as opposed to south.
Yes.
At Arnold Drive. Where is Arnold Drive?
It's right near Walter Hill School.
Okay.
It's a little bit north of Walter Hill School.
What do you do? Do people sometimes see that, because there's blue lights and everything, do they turn around and go the other way?
Sometimes they do. But We have deputies there. We have Tennessee Highway Patrol troopers. Tennessee Highway Patrol is sponsoring this, and we are joining in to help them. Murfreesboro Police may be patrolling other areas of Memorial Boulevard, and Smyrna Police, Laverne, MTSU, and even the wildlife officers, Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency officers, have the powers to arrest for DUIs.
So usually when a person turns around when they see the blue lights, they have something they're wanting to hide.
Yes.
And we don't need those folks on the roadway. It's amazing. I'm amazed that people are arrested 8 and 10 o'clock in the morning for DUIs.
We had somebody arrested. Well, there was a Murfreesboro police officer at the jail yesterday arresting somebody for a DUI that happened during the middle of the day. So it happens all the time, unfortunately.
And this is a real problem. People get addicted. It's an addiction problem. Are there ways to get off of that? If somebody is arrested, can you help them get off of that?
There are schools, DUI schools, that help people. It's up to the judge to decide a lot of times what kind of steps will be taken. But people can go into rehabilitation voluntarily or, families sometimes encourage them to do that. But it's something, a decision they usually have to make themselves.
Okay, so those are some things to keep in mind. Are there some other activities coming up that the public needs to know about that the sheriff's office is involved in?
The school resource officers are working this summer as well. They're at summer school right now in the Rutherford County Schools to protect the students who are taking summer classes. So that's one thing that they're doing. Another thing, they have fundraisers throughout the year. Before school starts, they will be taking high school students who are underserved shopping for back-to-school clothes. And last year they took about 10 kids and outfitted them with shoes and back-to-school clothes that their families otherwise might not be able to afford. But they, even though they're mostly out for the summer, they are still working for the kids of this community.
I tell you, the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, you've got our backs. You really do.
We do. We do. Last night we had graduation for the Sheriff's Citizens Academy. It's a 10-week program. And it was more of an interactive class this year for the first time. And the students were able to use virtual reality, and they practiced some different situations that deputies might encounter, like negotiating with people, who are in a mental health crisis. And that was one of the things the students really liked. And they also liked Fred the Bloodhound.
It's next to Ed the Zebra. Fred the Bloodhound is probably our second ambassador.
Yeah, Fred was Fred attended a training for corrections officers here yesterday, and it was for people all over the state of Tennessee and other places, mm-hmm. other states, but they're with the Lane Agri Center, and they wanted to do something special for Fred. So one of the there was a high school student at Rockvale, and she painted a picture of Fred and presented it to him.
Wow.
Fred entertained everybody by barking the whole time.
Well, he was very communicative.
Yes, he was.
Well, I want to say a special thank you to you, Lisa, for taking your time to share it. We have thoroughly enjoyed this. We've been friends for years.
Yes.
And hearing your story of Ed the Zebra and the worldwide contacts.
Yes.
That's exciting. I mean, I knew people in East Tennessee, West Tennessee, Kentucky. They were talking about Ed. I didn't realize Thailand, Australia, England, we were in the news.
Yes.
Lisa, thanks again.
Thank you, Bart.
In just a moment, earlier in the week, I had a really fun thing happen. I was out and I came across Daniel Rothwell, who was just presented a dream come true, a banjo that was Uncle Dave Macon's banjo. Daniel is the grandson of Thomas Maupin, who's 86. Thomas is world-renowned clogger. We're going to talk with both of them. We're going to hear his grandfather clog. I mean, you can hear it on the radio. We'll be back.
That's news. Your afternoon local news, traffic, and weather update with Matt Lane. Weekday afternoons, 4:40 until all sports talk on News Radio WGNS.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
When the unexpected happens, fire, water, or storm damage, Farrah Construction can help. Farrah Construction is also there to help when a car slams through the wall, and that seems to happen more often these days. I'm Ron Hall. Let our family at Farrah Construction help you. Call Farrah Construction, and we'll board up, put down tarps, secure your home or business until the insurance coverage is approved. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Now, I remember you from early Uncle Dave Macon days. How did you get involved in banjos, and how did you cultivate that Uncle Dave Macon claw and hammer style?
Well, the first time I ever saw and heard a banjo was when I was 2 years old. Leroy Troy was performing at Sam Davis' home, doing Grandfather's Clock, where he'll swing the banjo like a pendulum, you know, and that just fascinated me. And my grandfather, he's a national champion buck dancer and now a National Heritage Fellow.
He even has a festival in his honor.
He does. It's called Maupin Fest. We have it every year in Unionville, and this time it's going to be September 20th, 2025. Uncle Dave Macon Days years ago had the national championship in old-time buck dancing. When Uncle Dave Days stopped having the contests, the national championship moved to Maupin Fest.
So you have grown up surrounded by the sound of Uncle Dave and buck dancing.
The first time I heard a banjo player was Leroy Troy, and he was influenced by Cordell Kemp, who learned from Uncle Dave Macon. So there's kind of a musical third-generation thing, you know, almost. And Leroy influenced me and several other banjo players in the Middle Tennessee area. But, you know, on top of that, my grandfather, Thomas Maupin, that I just mentioned, he did everything he could to encourage my interest in music, because he always loved banjo music. You know, everybody associates the square dancing thing with the fiddle, but he said he'd rather dance to a banjo than he would a fiddle any day, you know. And if you trace back the history of buck dancing, there's the African root that the banjo and that both have, you know, so I think that's part of it. But he did whatever he could to encourage it. He would take me to all these festivals like Uncle Dave Macon Days and, you know, other bluegrass and old-time festivals in the area, and anywhere else they were having music. When they'd have a little country music dance, he'd carry me out there. You know, he was taking me to the festivals, pushing me around the stroller before I could even walk, and I was always trying to find the banjo players, you know. These were an annual thing that the community got very used to, you know, over the past several decades, and a lot of us got our start there.
You grew up, you couldn't help but get a start. You grew up surrounded by this.
Right, and on top of that, when I was staying at his house, he had a bunch of cassettes of bluegrass and old time and country and different things like that that I would listen to. I'd lay in the bed, go to sleep listening to recordings of different people. You know, one of the cassettes he had was Uncle Dave Macon. I think that's how I discovered Uncle Dave. But, you know, Uncle Dave's name was out there every year for us here in Rutherford County, you know.
Well, he was a real legend, and your grandfather is a living legend. Everybody knows Thomas Oppen and the great buck dancing that he does and continues to do. Reminds me of the old song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" Well, you mentioned something that really brought that home. You were gifted an Uncle Dave banjo.
Yes, the banjo that I was playing earlier today, I got from Mr. Paul Nipper, who I met at Uncle Dave Macon Days. And he got that banjo from his father, Roy Nipper, who was a banjo player. And Roy Nipper got that banjo in a trade from the legendary Uncle Dave Macon. So that's how I got it. You know, Mr. Nipper passed that banjo down to me, you know, that his father had got from Uncle Dave about the same time that he was born. So it had been around him all his life.
Did you have an unusual feeling when you started to do the clawhammer approach on that banjo? Did you just sort of feel Uncle Dave come over you?
Certainly when I first played it, I did. I got to play it years ago at Uncle Dave Macon Days. Played it on stage, actually placed in the freewheeling competition. Mr. Nipper let me play it on stage, which was one of the biggest honors. And, you know, I never dreamed that years later, this was back when I was a teenager. Years later, now I'm 32, people say, "Paul Nipper's trying to get in touch with you." And we play phone tag for a while, and I finally get in touch with him. And I said, "Well, what was it that you wanted to talk with me about?" I said, "Well, I was thinking about giving you that old banjo, you know, Uncle Dave's banjo, goodness gracious, you know." There was part of me that fantasized about it. I never thought that would ever come true, and it did, you know. But like I say, Uncle Dave was a big presence around here, I think. And honestly, I kind of worry about what's going to happen to his influence in modern times, you know. Now, I'm hopeful because there's a lot of banjo players like myself and Eric Vick, Camden Pugh, Rebecca Weiler, Josiah Tyree, Tater Carruthers, Austin Derryberry, Jeremy Stevens, Robert Montgomery, you know, that they're all young people carrying it on. There's another guy, Aaron Stevens, who I believe he runs a barbershop in Murfreesboro now. He plays banjo too. You know, that all of these people are influenced by Uncle Dave, so I think there's hope for this style to continue.
Well, the exciting thing is you're from Rutherford County. You have your roots strong in the music field here, and you're continuing that Uncle Dave tradition with the spirit of using his banjo. What a feeling that is. Thank you for making Uncle Dave alive and keeping that great sound alive here in the heart of Tennessee.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
That was Daniel Rothwell. What a great treat that was to talk with Daniel. His grandfather, Thomas Maupin, you heard him buck dancing in the background, 87 years young. 87. I tell you, you talk about staying fit and giving everybody encouragement to live a good long life. That is what it's all about. That's going to do it for the Action Line this morning. We've enjoyed visiting with you, talking about Ed the Zebra, great things at the sheriff's office, and wrapping up with a trip down memory lane of learning more about Uncle Dave Macon. Hope you have a super rest of the day. There's more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS, Murfreesboro.